It's going to be a great motivation. It was the last game that we played as a unit. So to go back there and to play the same team that we lost to, that we believe that we should have won, we made self-inflicting mistakes. So everybody's fired, everybody's pumped up, everybody's ready to go. But it's just one day at a time at this point, so.
The Ravens are talking like this game matters a lot to them more than any other game, any other regular game, but a lot to prove. I think that makes sense, right? They lost the game here, and the winner gets to tell the story. But I remember coming in the next day, and you know, you're off the AFC Championship game. You don't have to apologize for how you win. Mm-hmm. Once you get to the playoffs, win and advance. That's it. But didn't we all have a little bit of feeling of the Bills kind of got away with one? They did not have their fastball. They did not have their A game. Mm-hmm. Offensively, they played well early and kind of went into a slumber. They gave up chunk plays defensively. They got turnovers. Lamar put one on the ground. Lamar threw a pick. Andrews fumbled. Andrews had a drop. Mm-hmm. The Bills beat the Ravens that day because the Ravens made huge mistakes. And for them to come into this game Sunday night, Joe, and say, bad taste in our mouth, we feel like we owe them one, mm-hmm. to me makes total sense. I think they have every bit of reason to feel that they lost more than the Bills won. That's how it is when you lose, is it not? Right, when the Bills lose to the Chiefs, it's because Diggs dropped the ball, and there was this play.
Kincaid
and there was
dropped the ball.
Kincaid dropped the fourth down. Punt. Somebody missed a block. We beat ourselves. The fourth and ones. Or if it's 13 seconds, it's how you lost rather than how the other team won. I think that's just normal. And when the Chiefs play the Eagles this year, aren't they going to feel like we're going to show that we're a lot better than what they saw in the Super Bowl? Doesn't change the outcome of that game, of course, but you know, you want to prove that you have something better to show, and I think the Ravens come in Sunday feeling that way.
How similar should a Ravens fan feel, though, to what a lot of Bills fans feel with Kansas City, which is, oh, you did it in the regular season? Congrats. Dude, show me you could beat them in the playoffs. Because they have two playoff losses now to the Bills.
Yeah, here.
And there, you could say that. The same way you could say that if the Bills beat the Chiefs again in the regular season, what will that be met with? Now, that is 5 regular season wins versus 4 playoff losses if that occurs. So it's a more extreme version of it. But Baltimore beat them in the regular season last year, and they're 0-2 in the playoffs against the Bills with Lamar Jackson. And I think even if they won this game, they could feel like, yeah, okay, good. I already knew I could beat them like that.
Yeah.
What I don't know is, am I going to be able to avoid those mistakes? Are they the same way? Is McDermott the same as Spagnuolo for us, where when I think of the Chiefs in the playoffs, I think of Spags, I think of Andy Reid as having like, man, they're putting the Bills in this spot that's forcing these mistakes, like on that Kincaid drop on the fourth down. And if you're Baltimore, how do they treat it? Do they say, Lamar, that's on you, you fumbled it, that's terrible, or do they think no one covered Damar Hamlin on that blitz? And they were running more man coverage there, and they designed it, they disguised it perfectly, and a safety came uncovered at our quarterback. And that's coaching. I just wonder what they blame. Or do they just blame Andrews? Maybe they just blame Andrews.
They probably blame Andrews. They blame
but
Andrews.
That would be like just blaming Kincaid, which is not the case here.
There are plenty of people that do just kind of should have caught the ball.
But I think coaching is a huge piece of it, too.
Sure.
Huge piece of that. I would blame coaching more than I would blame Kincaid. And that's with saying I think Kincaid should have absolutely caught that football. Look, we got Sam Adams running for a touchdown on ESPN right now. Even ESPN, like, let's just show all the Belichick lowlights throughout time. Here he is getting beat by the Bills in 2003 on ESPN in 2025. Anyways.
803-0550 is our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a call. We'll get to Mike in Pennsylvania. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Happy game week. Excited for the season to kick off. With the news that just dropped with Dwayne Carter, I didn't know how much of a integral piece of the defensive line he was going to play anyways, but there seems to be an available roster spot at D-tackle. Is there a chance that Buffalo goes out and gets Christian Wilkins to join our defensive front, which I think would be a good move if him and Josh can make up or whatever that case may be? He creates havoc and gets rush, and then you'll have more of a rotation. Is that a possibility you guys see going forward?
No, I definitely do not. Isn't the story with the league for Christian Wilkins that like HR is looking into impropriety?
Yeah, I don't know where that story went. I thought it was more of the injury. He had a foot injury that like would not heal. So I don't know. I don't know which one of those is the real reason why he's not with a team right now. I mean, you see a lot of teams accept a lot of stuff, and his was what, that he kissed a teammate on the head?
Yes.
In the locker room?
Yeah.
Again, for the amount of things that the NFL tolerates, I feel like the injury is the reason he's not in the league right now. So he's not on a team. That tells me he's probably not healthy. If he's healthy in October or November, could they bring him in? I mean, should I say never because Allen hates him? I don't know.
I think it's likely. Aren't we thinking that if there's a roster spot available, that safety could be in the mix? I mean, I've got Jabril Peppers out here. I don't know if he's a fit.
I'd rather do that, though. I'd rather take a swing at safety than I would at defensive tackle right now. Right?
Which is the bigger concern?
Safety. Then defensive tackle? I would say safety. Defensive tackle, like, I'm not sure they're great, but I got guys. I got Oliver and Jones still up top. I got Sanders and Walker behind that. I've got Ogunjobi at some point. Like, that should be okay. In a pinch, I got to go to Jordan Phillips for the 9,000th time, whatever.
Yeah.
Safety, it's just like, I don't know if I have a single guy that could play back there before I have to throw DeMar Hamlin back out.
Alongside Rapp, you mean, yeah.
Right. So, and Jabril Peppers, like, maybe there's something there that's better than what they have. Isn't there a style fit problem with him, though?
Peppers, he said he can fit any scheme. You know, he's just kind of championing himself there, saying he's played for 1,000 different coaches and 1,000 different schemes, and he says he can make a difference or make a contribution in any scheme.
Okay.
But the Patriots just, you know, moved on from him. Whatever.
Yeah, and just let him walk for nothing. So, I don't know. Like, these would all be mid-season break glass in case of emergency moves anyway. I don't think they're bringing in Wilkins now. For sure.
Have you seen, this is something I looked up today, was at NFL.com. Greg Rosenthal has the top 25 free agents in 2026. Next year's free agent crop.
Okay. Are any quarterbacks?
I do not see any quarterbacks near the top, no.
Okay.
No, but I'll see if I can find the highest rated quarterback anywhere on this list. I'm into 16, 17, still top 20, none of them are quarterbacks. But there is one thing I think Bills fans might want to keep in mind.
Okay.
And again, a lot of this could change by contract extensions. Guys just extend with their team. Yes, it's a week before the season, and we're talking about next year's free agent class. But there's just a point here I want to make.
Uh-huh.
So according to Greg Rosenthal of NFL.com, three of the top four free agents are defensive ends.
There you go.
Nick Benito.
Okay.
Denver, 25-year-old defensive end. 13.5 sacks. Of course, they're probably going to try to extend him. But whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He's a free agent. Jalen Phillips, Miami Dolphins.
Yep.
He's had trouble staying healthy. Trey Hendrickson. Three of the top four defensive ends. For whatever that's worth to you.
It's worth to me that the Bills are probably going to be going after one of those three people. If they're not getting everything they want in re-signing Joey Bosa. Right?
If Bosa has a big year,
he's on that list.
That'll be a tough call. Yeah, if he has a big year, because
he's up there.
You'll wonder if you got away with it because he stayed healthy, or if you could have faith that he's going to stay healthy. There's a point to be made here on Dwayne Carter. So Dwayne Carter, you know, the torn ACL, torn Achilles for him, it's tough. I do think there are a couple different timelines. You know, hearing Sal lay it out to say Carter's development is stunted by this, and that's definitely true. He could have had 6 weeks until Ogunjobi comes back to kind of show what he can do, be a part of this rotation. Mm-hmm. Who knows how they would have mixed him in. There were some that thought maybe he wouldn't make the team, but he's, you know, a second-year, third-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't get that arc of development. I almost wonder, had he been healthy, what would have happened? Would he have been cut? Could he have been cut? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it's still unlikely he would have been let go.
I mean, maybe he would have just been a game day inactive like he was last year.
Yeah.
A lot.
Instead, now he's shelved for a full year.
Yeah.
Try to come back. And Jerry Ostrowski gave me the numbers on this, that return to play rate for a defensive tackle that tears his Achilles, like 80% of the time these guys do come back to play.
Okay.
So it should not be career ending for him. I mean, it's obviously like you'd never wish that kind of rehab and that kind of comeback on anybody that in the NFL. I almost wonder if next year at this time, the Bills kind of treat him as unavailable. Because is it a 2-year injury? Is it a 1.5-year injury? To do it before the season starts means for some guys you're back. And maybe by training camp he's good to go. Maybe he gets another chance with this team. Or maybe they treat him like, you know what? Not much happened in there before. Now there's an injury. Mm-hmm. He'll get a chance, but we certainly can't treat him like he's some sort of bankable asset.
No.
The way we would have coming into this year as a third round pick. We'll see where it goes for him. You know, he's in the mix.
Whereas I feel like now, if he comes back to camp next year or the year after, whenever that is, don't we already kind of feel like he barely made the team already?
Yeah.
That it was debatable whether he would in the first place. Now I've got a Dwayne Carter that's coming off a torn Achilles doing what? He's looking better at camp and in the preseason than he was before. Because if there's any sort of decrease in his production that already was non-existent, I don't know how you're putting him on a 53-man roster the next time he's at a training camp. So you'd love to be wrong. I feel like I would bet right now that he's...
That's over.
That's over. Yeah. And that's a third-round pick that's probably going to go by the wayside.
Yeah.
Seeing nothing out of it. And it's part of the Worthy trade. Which is just... I don't know if that's really a complaint about that trade or if it's just kind of a footnote to that trade. For me, it's a footnote, but maybe for some, it's like, well, this is the thing you got for moving down out of the Worthy pick, and it's probably already over. With nothing. One play against Houston, right?
Yep.
Like the whole thing. One play against Houston was it. I don't even remember what the play was. He like bull rushed a center or something and did even sack Stroud. I don't even remember. But there was something he did against the Texans last year where everyone was like, oh, well, look, Dwayne Carter. And then that was it. Never to be heard from again.
There was one other player in that trade. The Chiefs got a 7th-round pick in the deal.
Well, they also moved down into the 4th and picked a safety.
That's what I'm thinking of. Sorry. Yeah. Right, the Chiefs went from a third.
Oh, I think started a couple games for them last year.
Right, because we can't treat it as it's just Carter that was the other part of that trade. It's whoever else was in it because it was a pick slide. The Bills, they moved picks. They didn't add a pick. That was always a big thing for me.
Right.
And it seems like the pick slides have been a really popular thing in the NFL, teams trading picks. Bills did that this year with the Bears, right? Double pick slide kind of thing when they got T.J. Sanders. So anyway.
Worthy is sliding in fantasy drafts lately. You want to get on? You want to buy? I don't know why there is a dip. Rashee Rice got suspended.
6 games.
I think there's just not really a belief that Worthy's got a giant step in him from last year. Like, far more people are betting on a Roma Dunze boom than they are Xavier Worthy boom.
I mean, is it only second-year players we're talking about there for fantasy? Like,
I just picked a second-year guy.
I'm betting on Luther Burden all over the place.
Yeah?
Yeah. All over the place.
Because he's the slot guy and the yak guy. And
yep.
Okay.
Because he's the Amon-Ra St. Brown roll, and I buy that. And he can win at all three levels. And like in fantasy. In fantasy, I'm buying on Burden.
I'd like to see what that all looks like. Because I don't – they didn't – okay, if he's the Amon-Ra St. Brown, then what's DJ Moore? Did they not have a DJ Moore in Detroit?
He's old is what DJ Moore is.
Is he?
He's kind of old.
How old's DJ Moore? How old do you think DJ Moore is?
All I know is when a guy hits 30, you tell me they're basically dead.
He's 28.
All right. He's almost dead.
I mean, come on. He's 20. He's Tyrell Shaver's age.
McLaurin just signed at 29, and it's a bad idea, right?
No, he's 30. That's 2 years older.
Okay.
2 years older, and Moore's always been good. And again, Adonze's the one I like the most because I loved him out of the draft, and he had the highest... What do you have? The highest uncatchable target rate of receivers last year? Unrealized air yards or something. Like he had a couple.
Worthy was high on that list for unrealized air yards, too.
Because Mahomes couldn't hit him.
Right.
But Adonze was that, too. So, yeah, second year breakout receivers. I like him more than the other, than Worthy.
Eagles and Cowboys to start the season, and then the Friday game. We were just explaining to Howard the Friday game is free on YouTube, the same way that our show is on YouTube.
Yes.
Not like YouTube TV. Open up YouTube, live, Chargers Chiefs from Brazil will be there.
Like, you could, while there's commercials, are they going to have commercials on YouTube on Friday night's game? You could change the channel to our show from that morning.
You could.
You could just, maybe it's right there in the column on the right. Just click it. Watch later. Go back and forth. Will they have commercials? They will have commercials, right?
Yeah. For YouTube TV. Obviously. Among other things. In the chat, they're debating if Damar Hamlin will start games this year. I think the answer to that is yes. I also think that Jordan Poyer will start games this year.
How many safeties would you predict start games on?
All of them.
Seven safeties.
I think Poyer will start games this year. Is that crazy?
I personally think that's crazy.
That he won't start a game?
I would bet he doesn't start a game this
year. Will he play?
Yeah, he'll see the field, but it's going to be it's going to be like what John Brown did for the Bills. Like a couple snaps.
When they brought him back.
What Kareem Jackson did last year for the Bills, which is like a couple snaps, couple games. I would like, you want to bet it? I would bet against he starts a game this year.
Want to do a start?
Yeah.
A start at safety. Should we do snaps instead?
You can have whatever you want. If he starts a defensive end, I'll give you the win, too.
Well, there's start, and then there's plays the majority of the snaps because he doesn't start the first snap of the game.
Okay.
Like, a start is...
You want me to do... Let's do start and or he plays more than 50% of the snaps in the game, in a game.
Okay. On Poyer?
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
50% plus or a start.
Love it.
You're going to take yes.
I'm going to take yes.
All right, I'm going to take no.
I'm going to take yes, Poyer will do that.
I think it's more likely he doesn't dress for a game this year.
Then he plays 50% of the snaps in one game?
Yeah.
You might be right.
I mean, I hope I am.
I don't want to take that bet. Do I want to take that bet?
You don't want to bet against him? Or bet for him?
I just think he might play.
I mean, if you think Hamlin is starting, I think Bishop is getting the go out of the gate, so how does it go? Bishop gets hurt, and then...
It happens a lot.
And then what? Hamlin comes in? And then what happens? Do I need another injury, or you just think Hamlin's so bad that they're going to throw Poyer in?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because Hamlin doesn't really make... mistakes.
He just doesn't. Like, yeah.
That'd be my question. What does Poyer give them that Hamlin doesn't? What Hamlin gives them, in theory, is this guy's not really that athletic, but he's going to be in the right place at the right time. And he knows the system, and he's a veteran, and he's trustworthy. What does Jordan Poyer give
him? I need
all those same things.
I need two injuries for Poyer to start.
I think so.
Yeah, that might be right.
Or maybe you just need a. Maybe Bishop's playing so terribly, and you just need a Hamlin injury. Hamlin's out, and it's, hey, Bishop's lost at sea. We got to put someone trustworthy in. Hamlin's unavailable. Who's the next trustworthy guy? So maybe you only need one. But again, like, all of that makes me think that he's just down the list. That he's here, he's going to be the leader guy that they're talking about, but that he's down the list at safety.
I just think it is not the same situation as Micah Hyde. Micah Hyde never thought he could play, right? He came back to be on the practice squad. He never thought he could play. Poyer says he has gas in the tank. And on the Bills squad show with Joe Marino and Jerry O, one thing, I think it might have been Jerry that said this. What if you're Cole Bishop? How do you look at this signing of Poyer? Good, a guy in the room to help me, but would you be threatened by it? They brought in a guy who's had glory years here, who knows it better than anybody.
Yeah.
Would you be threatened at all?
Would they want him to be threatened? Is this the, hey, let's put a fire under him by putting the legend behind
him?
Just
make yourself Bishop.
Yeah.
This might help me. And if I don't get it.
Yeah.
I wonder about that. I thought it was an interesting perspective to say, if I'm the player, I might feel threatened by the move. Or again, like, it could be a move that helps him. I think it doesn't have to be a bad move, but we started this segment kind of talking about defensive line versus safety and where the concerns are. And I've got concerns at both. That's what's keeping Howard from picking them to win the Super Bowl is like, they might not have their answers defensively and could still be searching for a lot of things.
I mean, Bishop is the thing people could be calling in and being mad about in a week.
Oh, for sure.
If there's a big play over the top of him, I mean, phone lines light up on get this guy off the field.
Last year,
and I think that could happen immediately.
Last year they didn't have to deal with Zay Flowers in that game. The Ravens passed for 10 yards per attempt without their best receiver.
Yep.
You're going to hope to get there with your front seven, and you're going to hope to get there without the two biggest signings you made to that group, which is Bosa and Hoyt.
Their receivers in that game that caught passes, by the way.
Tylan Wallace.
He caught one pass for 27. Rashad Bateman, 4 for 66. Anthony Miller, 1 for 16, and Steven Sims, 1 for 4.
Unbelievable.
That was their receiving core in that game. And in this game, it's going to be Flowers, Bateman, Hopkins. Totally different.
Yeah.
Likely led them in that game. He probably is unavailable. So.
We'll see. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. If you're on hold, you can stick with us. If you want to get on hold, you can do that too. Join us, Jeremy and Joe, here on WGR.
And my daughter's running the car. Like, I was right outside the car. I wouldn't just leave them in there. But they, I guess I had like 10 minutes phone calls from Dan and Dave, my agent. And they're all just ignored. My daughter was watching Bluey or something. You know, so got back in the car and had that conversation, I guess. Later on Thursday, maybe. And then just made sure that this is what I wanted to do. I made sure that this is where I wanted to be, which I was pretty sure of it. But I just wanted a couple days to kind of make sure it was good with my wife and my family to go and get everything I got to it.
Hunter Renfro is back with the Panthers. Says he had like 10 missed calls because his daughter refused to turn off Bluey. That's why he had like 10 missed calls.
Uh-huh.
Yep. There you go. Just got one of these emails that says, you know, like a new study says. Mm-hmm. You know what? Let's go with it. This one's kind of funny.
Okay.
A new study ranks each NFL fan base based on how many years will be added to their appearance from their sports team. The impact of 8 aging factors, travel, close games, number of games that go into overtime. Mm-hmm. The Bills have been revealed to age the second most in the NFL by 7 years. So now, if you're feeling old, you can say, well, you know, the Bills add 7 years.
Add 7 years.
I have not gone down far enough to see which team is number one. Studies reveal the aging process may have been accelerated by up to 7.1 years this season for fans of certain teams. Weather, pollution, number of games overtime, number of games finished within one score, home travel, away travel, night games, involvement in the international series. Mm-hmm. So the obvious question is, the Bills are number two in how much they age us as just watching them.
Mm-hmm.
Who is number one?
Number one.
I have not seen. I've not scrolled down yet.
So again, they're incorporating how like travel. They're incorporating everything.
Yeah, right? All those factors.
Okay.
Who ages their fans the most?
I'm gonna guess Chicago ages their fans the most. That's gonna be my guess. The Chicago Bears fans.
Part of me wants to say the Chargers, right? Because the Chargers are going to Charger. Or the Jets are great for this.
Yep.
The Jets. I also want to do like an honorable mention to the Vikings because I feel like for some reason the Vikings are always losing in stupid ways.
They're good, though, all the time. Is there stadium help for that? They got a palace indoor glass stadium. Natural light.
Close my eyes and scroll to the bottom so I can count up. Okay, here I effectively did it. Counting up from 10.
Okay.
The Raiders are 10th.
Okay. Sure.
Ravens 9. Seahawks 8. Packers 7. Packers. Chargers are 6.
The Packers.
The Steelers come in 5th. The Rams come in 4th. The Vikings are in 3rd.
Okay.
Weather, overtime, close games, international series, night games. I like the Jets here to be number 2. Oh, no, the Bills, sorry.
The Bills are two.
The Bills are two.
So, maybe you think Jets are one?
I think the Jets are...
If the Jets aren't on the list, they got to be one. If they're not on so far, yeah, they got to be one, right?
It's the most annoying answer possible.
The Chiefs? No, it's not.
I can't believe I dedicated minutes to this thing.
It's either... Okay, wait. By his reaction, it's either...
It's the Chiefs.
I was going to say it's either Kansas City or New England.
It's the Chiefs.
Kansas City?
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
I think you should block sender on that.
Yeah. Hey, you know what?
That's block worthy.
I'll indulge this new study. Oh, yo, the team that wins all the time ages their fans the most. Yeah, cool. Great. Absolute nonsense. Well, what can we do to recover from that? We got to recover. It was terrible.
What a
disaster. That's worse than Belichick's opener.
So the Jets weren't even in the top 10?
Not in the top 10.
The Bears weren't in the top 10.
Nope. I got close.
Dolphins weren't in the top 10. Dolphins wouldn't have won a playoff game in 25 years.
Chiefs. They always win.
Is Friday, do you think this year's different, or is Friday going to be the first of many annoying Chief games that end in close calls at the end and they win stupidly?
Oh, they're all annoying. The Chargers season, I mean, they lost their starting left tackle, right? And that's terrible.
They did, yeah. And they're shuffling pieces around. Joe Alt's going to the left.
They're moving Alt from right to left?
From right to left, and I forget who's going to the right. Like, yeah, they're doing a bunch of – they're trying to cover up for that. So that's a tough loss.
Yeah.
They have this reputation, right? They're the team that loses in the stupid way. So it's one – like, I kind of believe this Chiefs season will look different, that they will look different starting – maybe not Friday night, though, because I think they're not going to win in these lucky ways every single week like they did last year, but they're playing this team in week one that has lost that way for eternity.
They have lost 7 consecutive games to the Chiefs, the Chargers have.
Right.
By 6 in overtime, 3, 14, 1, 7, and 2.
I mean, listen to that. So, like,
7 in a row, 6 of them one score games. One of them in overtime.
Right. Brutal.
Yeah.
So, like, they're my champion out of the gates to make this a different Kansas City season. This is why I'm putting a lot of faith in Denver to be different this year. And Bo Nix to take a step, and the defense to be the best in football. Because the Chargers just are not a trustworthy franchise.
No. Even
with Harbaugh there.
If the unluckiest team ever beats the luckiest team ever to open the season in Brazil.
Oh, it's going to be
then
great
put
year.
Your money on Jackson Dart for MVP. Do it now. As soon as that game goes final and the Chargers win a game, especially if it's close,
yeah,
everything you've got, put it on Cam Ward, MVP. Something goofy is going to happen this season if that happens. 7 losses in a row for the Chargers against the Chiefs, and all of them close games. Friday from Brazil. They're playing at the same stadium?
I have no idea. They have 30 empty Olympic stadiums in that country, so they could probably pick one of them out and play there. Whichever one they want. Rio? They play in Rio? Sao Paulo?
Sao Paulo. Yeah, it's the same one they played in last year. Arena Corinthians, right? Okay. That's where the Eagles and Packers
there
played.
Were a lot of safety concerns last year, weren't there, about those teams coming in? And
there were some, and you weren't supposed to wear green, and then the two teams that wore green were there.
Yeah, and they did fine, right?
Yep.
You know, it's twice, by the way. You've, snuck in a little Jackson Dart hype today.
Just randomly.
Twice.
He's top of mind.
It's funny.
For no reason.
I was looking at the week one lines, and I did look at the Giants +6.5 at Washington and think, that's a line nobody likes that I could see being covered. The Giants plus, everyone thinks they're going to be bad.
But their defense should be dangerous.
That's the thing. Washington just went to the NFC Championship, but right, the Giants defense is maybe going to be top 5 in the league. I got Russell Wilson in week one. It's not Spencer Rattler in week one.
No.
So, that might be my number one pick so far of the week, looking at the lines. Not a lot of big spreads this week, by the way, if you're wondering. 7.5 is the biggest.
Week one, you get Cowboys, Eagles, Chiefs, Chargers. And then Sunday, 1 o'clock, Bills fans, while you're kind of waiting all day for Sunday night, pregame will be on here on WGR. 1 o'clock games, the best one. If you want teams or stories? Stories?
Sure. Let's go stories.
All right. Best story Sunday, 1 o'clock, is probably Steelers-Jets.
Okay.
Best story. Best game?
And seeing what Travis Hunter is going to play against the Panthers at 1 o'clock?
Well, I was going to say, I've got two games at 1 o'clock that I think are sneaky good games. And that's Panthers-Jaguars and Bucks-Falcons.
I like Bucks-Falcons.
Bucks-Falcons is potentially a good game. We'll see about that.
Big division game. And those are going to be the top two teams,
and
most think.
Panthers-Jaguars, the Panthers were coming on last year, and the Jaguars, I don't know. If it doesn't ever happen for Trevor Lawrence now, it never will. He's had a couple of years, and plenty of people think he's good, but it's not been right for him. Well, here's Liam Cohen to kind of fix things.
Yep.
You got Giants-Commanders, Cardinals-Saints, Bengals-Browns.
There we go. See if the Bengals can break their week one curse.
See if their defense can hold a team under 30. I don't want to get too carried away if they hold the Browns down.
I don't think
Joe
gonna.
Flacco.
I don't think they're gonna.
4 o'clock games: Titans, Broncos, Lions, Packers is good. Texans, Rams, and then Bills, Ravens at the night game, and then Vikings, Bears on Monday night. Pretty good.
All right, that's a good week.
It's
one slate.
It's a yeah. I mean, good. You've got at least one. I also mentioned. I forgot to mention 49ers, Seahawks is 4 o'clock.
Okay.
You've got a couple of really good games. And the Monday nighter, Vikings, Bears, that has two pieces of it that are juicy, whether it's J.J. McCarthy or it's just Ben Johnson's real debut. I mean, Johnson set out this preseason to make a point,
yeah,
to try to look really good. Change culture, all that, run up scores. The Bills saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm eager to see the Bears. I think I'm rooting for them to be good.
Rooting for them to be good.
Yeah, I think so.
I think they're going to be good, and I'm curious about them. Do I want them to be good, though? What do I think of the Chicago sports fan right now?
They have no joy or happiness, and they've never had it with the Bears.
Not with the Bears. Yeah, they've never had a quarterback do more than, what, Cutler, 3,000 yards?
I think they've never had a 4,000-yard passer.
Never had a 4,000-yard passer.
Which is absolutely incredible.
I always remember the stat that Tom Brady, just in his 40s, would be the Bears' all-time leading passer. So it's been a tough existence in that way.
How many receivers in Bears history have gone over 1,000 yards in a season?
Oh, man, I can't. Brandon Marshall did it, I'm sure. Did Muslim Muhammad do it? Three.
Single-season receivers for 1,000 yards for the Bears.
DJ Moore, I bet, has done it.
Yeah.
So I'll say four. Four guys.
There are 19 guys that have done it.
Oh, really?
But a lot of those are back in, well, I guess a couple in the 50s.
The Sid Luckman days?
Yeah.
Of the 50s
Brandon
and 60s.
Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Marcus Robinson, DJ Moore, Jeff Grahams, the 90s, Marshall Robinson, Johnny Morris, Marty Booker. Shout out Marty Booker.
I'll have a tough time shaking, maybe it'll happen quick, shaking what their reputation in my head is. Because for my whole lifetime, they've been the team I'm mad is on national television.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, oh, go maybe. Sunday Night Football tonight. Who do we got? Oh, the Bears again. Because they're just never interesting. They're hardly ever good, and they're always they're the it's them. It's the Cowboys. These teams that are always in my face that are never actually any good.
That's probably why I'm rooting for them. Because if they're actually fun to watch, then their inevitable six primetime games become more useful, right?
Yeah, because you'd think they're going to get them no matter what. Anyways, right? Because of the TV market, and I don't know. This year they have they only have three night games.
All right.
Week 1, Minnesota, week 6, Washington, and then week 17, San Francisco. So maybe they get flexed in somewhere else, but yeah, that's actually not a lot for what is that? The most interesting Bears team that we've had, and this is the one you decided not to put on national TV? But we do get it week 1. Can't wait. Red Zone. Oh. When does the 538 map come out? Is that Wednesdays?
Yes.
Okay, tomorrow.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe, when we get back, the Micah Parsons trade, Mike Vrabel's comment on why New England did not do it, did not pursue it. Get you that as we sign off on Extendo Sports next.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right. Mike Vrabel, what did he say about the Micah Parsons trade? At ProFootballTalk.com, they've got some quotes from Vrabel. The time wasn't right for them. He said, on the Greg Hill Show on WEEI this morning, a Parsons trade wasn't something we really invested a lot of our time or resources in. Mm-hmm. We have to build some depth there to this roster, and you do that from the draft. I'll do another question about a run of poor drafts impacted their willingness to make a deal involving first-round picks. No, just saying that when we build this thing and moving forward, we want to build it and make sure we're building through the draft. And then again, like I said, retaining players we feel have developed and earned contracts, and where Micah Parsons is a great player, just probably wasn't the best fit or the right time, I think, for us.
I would have thought it was the right time for them.
Well, in the 2026 NFL draft, let's see like how many picks they have.
The Patriots.
Yeah.
They have all of them, I'm sure. Like, they didn't trade anything this offseason.
The Patriots' future picks for 2026. There are a couple teams that have a lot of picks. The Cowboys, of course, have a lot. But for the Patriots, they have, in this upcoming draft, a first, a second, a third, two fourths, a fifth, two sixths, and two sevenths. And that's really it. So they've added three picks to a normal draft haul. And the next year, 2027, they don't have anything other than their own picks.
Okay.
So they're not exactly flush with picks. You know, if you care.
NFL Network is Good Morning Football's doing their playoff projections this morning.
All right.
Two of the three pick the Bills to be the one seed, Manti Te'o and Jamie Erdahl. Kyle Brandt has the Bills as the three seed, opening the playoffs against Pittsburgh.
The Bills as the three seed?
Yeah.
Opening against Pittsburgh as the six seed.
The six seed.
Okay.
He's the Chiefs as the one seed. Manti Te'o, Bills, Ravens, Texans, Broncos.
Love it.
Winning the division. Chiefs, Chargers, Steelers is the wild card. Jamie Erdahl, would you sign up for this? Bills the one seed, Ravens the two, Jags the three, Broncos the four, Chiefs the seven. Baltimore, Kansas City in week one of the playoffs.
Oh, boy, I love that. Sounds great.
How about this? None of the three picking Cincinnati to make the playoffs. I mean, they didn't last year.
True. Or the year before. Interesting.
Or the year before? Right, he was hurt. He was hurt.
2 years in a row.
So their last playoff win is against the Bills?
Looking at ESPN, they're breaking down Bills-Ravens. ESPN analytics give the Bills a 51% chance to win the game. Hey, guys, if your computer says it's a coin toss, you don't have to tell us the computer said that. Our numbers, we ran them. 51-49. Oh, all right. Thanks.
Well, they need the 51 so that John Harbaugh can put ESPN simulators his 51% Bills on his whiteboard in the locker room to fire up the guys.
The very next graphic says that Ravens are the favorite to win the AFC. So, anyway. Hey.
Interesting.
This next little story I'm going to bring to you from the, what are they going to keep firing coaches until they find somebody? Line of thinking.
Uh-huh.
In the Bundesliga, Bayern Leverkusen sacked Erik ten Hag after how many games in charge?
Man, he just got there.
How many? He got fired. How many games?
I only know that because Liverpool was going after the previous manager. Oh, 10?
Two. Two.
Soccer's amazing like that.
Yeah.
Soccer, they fire guys like it's nothing.
Of course. You're not good. Get out of here.
Claudio Ranieri, who was the manager of the moment I figured this out, he was the manager of Leicester City, who won the Premier League in 2016. It's like the greatest soccer story ever, the biggest upset in sports ever, 5,000-1. The next year, they fired him.
Yeah.
Like, this dude pulled off a year ago the craziest feat in the history of the sport, and you gave him 10 months before firing him.
Yep.
That sport is cold-blooded.
I mean, going back in history of the Sabres drought here, we watched coaches finished in dead last and be brought back.
Right.
And, you know, in the soccer world, two games, not cutting it, Erik ten Hag.
Yeah.
See ya.
The Manning cast just dropped their schedule for the season.
Okay.
What do you want? The weeks that they're not doing a Manning cast?
Are they doing Bills games or not?
No Bills games.
None. Okay.
Weeks 2, 4, 6, 7, 14, and 17. They're not doing.
Okay. So 2, 4, 6, 7, 14, 17. So
and 16.
So they're doing like 10 games.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm into that.
Sorry, 10 games, and then there's two TBD games. So they'll do 12. They're going to do a Week 18 game that's unannounced. Is there a Monday Night Week 18 game? That's weird. Week 18, it says on here. And then they're doing a wild card game.
Isn't Monday Night Week 18 like the flex playoff game that they get? They always get?
It says Week 18. The other one says it's a playoff game. The other one says wild card.
Okay.
This is Week 18, then wild card. Maybe there's a Monday Night Week 18 game this year. I don't know.
I feel like... I thought there always is. Anyway, whatever. All right, we're back tomorrow. Cheers.